Aren't you thankful for what He did for you? I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 9. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 9. We'll not stay here long this morning. I want to preach a very simple, basic message this morning that God put on my heart a week or two ago, just to be an encouragement to all of us. And I want to preach a message that's entitled, Be of Good Cheer. Be of good cheer. As a young boy, Enrico worked in a factory, but had an intense desire to be a singer. When he turned 10 years old, he took his first voice lesson, which procured a less than encouraging remark from his teacher. You can't sing, said his teacher. You haven't any voice at all. Your voice sounds like a wind in the shutters. His mother, however, believed that he could learn to sing. She was very poor, but she hugged him and said, My boy, I'm going to make every sacrifice to pay for your voice lessons. Her encouragement and sacrifice for her son proved to be invaluable. He became known as one of the world's greatest singers. His name was Enrico Caruso. He became a well-known Italian operatic tenor. He was born in 1873 and died in 1921. You know, words of encouragement go a long way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need encouragement along the road of life, don't you? As Jesus interacted with people in the Gospels, there were times that He said to individuals, be of good cheer. He makes statements, we're going to look at six of them this morning in six different passages of Scripture. He makes statements that are based on His character, that are based on truth, not just for then, but truth that we can claim this morning. And so I want to encourage you this morning with the statements that Jesus made. I want to encourage you to leave here encouraged. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand all my situations and my circumstances. And you know, all of us face challenges in life. But God wants us to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul told the church here at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We're in Matthew chapter number 9, and we're going to read verse 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, And as he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, there brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And saith he, the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. That aspect, be of good cheer, is more than just being joyful. It has the idea of being of good courage, of being of good comfort. Sometimes in life we can lose courage, can't we? I want us to see, first of all, as we look at this section of Scripture, Jesus says to this man, He says, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I want to remind us that we can be of good cheer. We can be of good courage because God forgives sins. How many of you have ever blown it? You ever done something wrong and say you've blown it? All right, let me see your hands. All right, come on, some of you are still sleeping. All right? We are sinners. We blow it sometimes, and sometimes we blow it big time. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was communicating to his young boy, preacher boy Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And he said this to Timothy, his preacher boy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he says this about himself, who was before a blasphemer. He was a blasphemer. He blasphemed God, the things of God. He was a persecutor and injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy. He obtained what? The forgiveness of God. We see his story in more detail in the book of Acts, chapter number 26. As we look at the Apostle Paul and forgiveness of sin that he received, the Bible says this in Acts 26 and verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." He says in Acts chapter 22, I believe it is, Acts chapter 22 and verse number 20, "And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Well, I don't know about you, but when I look at the Apostle Paul's life, I look at my life, I'm glad that God forgives sin. You see, the Apostle Paul said, hey, there was a time in my life where I didn't know God. There was a time in my life where I spent my time persecuting the church, where I spent my time doing that which is contrary to the things that God wanted me to do. And I didn't read it. He goes on to say in that particular section there, of course, we read in Acts chapter 9, I was on the road to Damascus and I saw a light and he met Jesus. And at that point in time in his life, he received forgiveness of sins and made certain he was on his way to heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? I tell you, nobody can take your salvation from you. The Bible says we're in his hands. The Bible says, hey, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Boy, I'm thankful that as a 7-year-old boy, I placed my faith and trust in Jesus and made certain I was on my way to heaven. But as you think about it, sometimes as Christians we blow it, don't we? Probably this week you blew it. You see, man, it wasn't maybe my intent to do wrong. It wasn't my intent to say this. And maybe it was your intent. Maybe you just got a little bit carnal. You got a little bit backslidden. Maybe something irritated you and you got in the flesh and you just ripped into the children. Or you just ripped into your husband. Or you said, man, this isn't how it's going to be. And your flesh just took over. Aren't you glad God forgives your sin? I sure am. You can be of good cheer. Think of the Apostle Peter. I mean, here he is with Jesus. I mean, he spends time with Jesus. He sees Jesus do miracles. He sees Jesus feed the 5,000. I mean, can you imagine? Imagine what it would be like to spend 3 years walking with Jesus here on earth and watching him and listening to him teach and learning from him and thinking, wow, that was a good answer. Boy, that was amazing. And yet as Jesus goes toward the cross, Peter's by himself, warming himself by a fire. Hey, you're one of them, aren't you? No, not me. No. And 3 times he denies the Lord Jesus. And the Scripture tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine failing the Lord to that extent? And yet, Peter received forgiveness of sin. Peter received God's power in his life, and God used him in a great way. In Psalm 32, the psalmist writes a little bit concerning the burden, the weight of sin that sometimes we face. He says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." The psalmist says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Then he said, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, my iniquity have I not hid." And you can see the sound of the psalm churns as he recognized, hey, when I was holding on to my sin, when I was bearing the guilt of my sin, when I was carrying the weight and the burden of my sin and trying to hide it from others, it affected me physically. But then he says, "Blessed is he whose sin is forgiven." I tell you this morning, Jesus was communicating beyond just healing a lame man. Jesus was communicating about himself. Jesus was helping people to understand that, hey, I can not only just heal somebody, but I have the power to forgive sins. And today Jesus says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know why? Satan will do whatever he can to get you to dwell on your sin, to bring your sin before you, and to cause you to think, hey, I'm a failure. Hey, I can't do it. Hey, it's just not going to work. That's not true. God puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And no matter what challenges we may face on a day-by-day basis, we can be of good cheer. We can be of good comfort. Why? Because God forgives sin. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 14. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. Again, I told you we're going to be basic this morning. We're going to do a little topical study here. And I trust that the Lord will use this in all of our lives. As Christians, sometimes we can have a tendency to be discouraged. We can have a tendency to let the weight of the world bear in on us and to discourage us and to make us feel defeated. And I tell you, we don't have to. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Boy, the disciples see this. A great multitude comes and he takes the loaves and the fishes. And he feeds, or the fish, I should say, the fishes. That wasn't too good. The fish, but you understood what I meant. He takes the loaves and the fish, and he feeds the 5,000. And then he has them sit down in verse 19, and they all did eat, verse 20, and they're filled. And then the Bible says in verse number 22 that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship. I think that's significant because what we're about to read, we have to recognize we're about to see them in the midst of a storm. And I think it's significant for us to take note that Jesus is the one that told them to get into the boat. Jesus is the one that knew what storm would come, what they would face. And he allows his disciples to go through a storm. And so what do we see? They get into the boat here, and the Bible says Jesus goes up into a mountain, verse 23, to pray, and he's there alone. And the ship, verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. You ever feel like your life is like that? You ever feel like, hey, here it is at night? You ever feel like sometimes my life, I'm going through a dark time? You feel the times where you're going through a dark time and you feel like the waves are crashing in. You think about this as we look at the disciples. Really, there was nothing they could do. I'm sure they thought through every solution. They couldn't talk to one another. What do you think? I don't know. Here they are in a situation that's very, very challenging. And sometimes our lives can be challenging. Sometimes we feel like, hey, things are crashing in on us. And the Bible says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But I want you to see Jesus says this, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Whoa. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Do you know, secondly, we can be of good cheer because God is with you. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if there's a time in your life you said to God, God, I'm a sinner, I recognize my sin displeases you, and you transferred your dependence from yourself to Jesus, you accepted Him as personal Savior. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you. You know, we see in the Word of God over and over, Hebrews 13 says what? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many of you ever felt alone? Christian, you ever feel alone? Is that true? It might be true that I'm alone where I don't see any human beings, but it's not true that I'm alone because Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wherever you go, He goes. Whatever challenge that you face, God and the person of the Holy Spirit sees and knows and understands, and He goes with you everywhere you go. We can be assured. We can be of good cheer. We can be of good courage. Why? Because God is always with us. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because Thou art with me. Boy, what a great truth. What a great, great truth that we take God with us wherever we go. I don't know the circumstances that we all face in life, but to think there is nothing that I face today that God doesn't face with me. What a great God. What a great reason to be of good cheer. Number 3, John chapter 16. Will you find that verse? John chapter number 16. Find that book. The verse is going to be verse number 33. John chapter 16. And we'll look at verse number 33. Jesus predicted that He'd be left alone. He predicted that the disciples would desert Him. Obviously, He was preparing them for the day that He would hang on Calvary's cross. And He says in verse 15, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, the biggest blow that the world can give an individual in this particular case is death, right? You figure the deepest pain, one of the hardest things ever to face in life, is for a loved one or a friend or somebody you know to die. And you say, "Boy, I'll never be with them here on earth again. I'm not going to see them." And the pain and the agony and the grief that comes from that. But you know what? Jesus was going to die. Jesus was going to hang on a cross. And Jesus was going to rise again. Jesus was going to conquer sin and death. And Jesus said to His disciples, "Listen, in the world in which you live in, there's going to be tribulation." By the way, it would be good for us to note that Jesus told us in the world in which we live in, there's tribulation. Any of you have tribulation? Have hardships? Yeah. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, when you get saved, it's all peaches and cream." Sometimes I think we think, "Oh, what am I going through? What's happening to me? Oh, no, what happened?" Hey, we've got to take a step back and say, what I'm facing is what Jesus told me that I was going to face. And Jesus tells His disciples, "Look, you're going to face tribulation in the world in which you live in. But I want you to have courage. Hey, I want you to have comfort. I want you to be of good cheer." Why? Because I have overcome the world in which you live in. And you are mine. And the Scripture tells us in Romans, we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors to Him that loved us so. Boy, that ought to excite us. That ought to encourage us. Years ago, when the World Cup was taking place, you know, soccer, and U.S. was in the World Cup, you know, my younger brother would, if he had to miss a game, he'd video it. He'd record the game, you know, and I guess now people don't do that anymore, maybe. They just find it somewhere online, somewhere, and watch it or whatever, and he'd video it. And you know, it was exciting to watch a game when you know the U.S. was going to win. You know, you watch a video, of course, you find out who won, and then you watch the video, and even though it may look like, hey, we're losing, or maybe it may look like your favorite team's losing, and you're not stressing out, you're not biting your nails and thinking, "Oh, I hope they win." By the way, sometimes you think a team's going to win, and they disappoint you, you know. I don't know what happened in the Super Bowl this past year, but boy, oh boy, was it Atlanta or somebody was way ahead, and I'm telling you, it just went the other direction fast. And it was, anyway, that's a whole other story. But when you know what's going to happen, when you know what's going to happen, you can sit there and watch and nothing stresses you out. Because why? Because I know in the end, my team is going to win. And you know what? As we look at the Word of God, oh, you see, Pastor, there's a lot of things going on in society. Yeah, there are. A lot of laws trying to be passed. Yeah, there are. A lot of people out there with some crazy ideas. Yeah, there are. You know, Pastor, sometimes things, I wonder if things are safe around here. I wonder if some bomb's going to hit us. And I'm telling you, you can think about all kinds of tribulation. You can think about all kinds of challenges that we face. But I tell you this, we know the end. You see, we know what happens in the end of the book. We know that Jesus wins. And we're children of Jesus. We're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so as we look at the challenges that we might face in life today, we can know, hey, I'm on God's side. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm on His side, and I can be encouraged because of the victory that I have through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, hey, things aren't going my way. That's okay. God won the victory. And boy, we can find encouragement and comfort in what Jesus told His disciples, and Jesus tells us the same thing today. So number three, be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. Number four, turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, and I want to look at verse number 11. Acts 23 and verse number 11. Paul was facing persecution for preaching the gospel. You can see this in chapter 21. He was arrested. In chapter 22, he's given in a testimony. By the way, he's just trying to preach the gospel. He's just trying to help people to see that Jesus is the answer. As a matter of fact, in verse 21, verse 30, the Bible says, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captains and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. I'm telling you, the gospel, I tell you, that's all he's trying to do is preach the gospel. In any event, he finds himself in Acts 22, Acts 23, he's before the Sanhedrin, and he's trying to explain to them what the deal is. And you can imagine what the thoughts that might have gone through the Apostle Paul's mind. You know, he had known others that had been killed for preaching the gospel, and maybe someday he knew that that was going to be his end result. And of course, we know that it was. But if you put yourself in his shoes thinking, I'm trying to preach the gospel, I'm getting arrested, okay, I'm before this guy, got to give a testimony before this guy, it could be quite nerve-wracking. But he gives us a little insight. Verse number 11, the Bible says this, Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. What's God communicating to him? Number four, be of good cheer because God is in control. You see, Paul didn't understand, know what all was going to happen. He didn't know where he was going to end up. But the Bible says that God communicated through him. The Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said what? He said, be of good cheer, Paul. God's in control. Hey, you're here, but you're going to testify in Rome. I think God had some other people in Rome that he wanted to give the gospel to. You think about it, we could say, boy, Paul had a rough life. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been to say, hey, I'm out here preaching the gospel, and now I find myself in jail. And you know what he did? He didn't say, well, woe is me. What a bad deal. Man, I got a bad rap. I'm in jail. He said, oh, okay, this is where God wants me to witness. And so he witnesses to individuals in jail. And we see in the book of Acts, with the Philippian jailer and others, got saved. You see, we kind of like to sometimes be in control of our little world. Now, maybe some of you like to be in control more than others of you. But the bottom line is, all of us would have some sense of wanting to be in control a little bit. And do you know the world is in God's control? It's not in our control. And as much as we might like for things to be a certain way, none of us can do anything to turn the weather. You can pray and ask God. You see, well, we have a great activity tomorrow. We're going to go and do something just fun and exciting. And boom, what happens? The weather changes and a storm comes in and all of your plans are canceled. Do you know what? I can be of good cheer. I can be of good courage. Why? Because I know God's in control. God's in control of my life. God's in control of my circumstances. God's in control of all of these things. And it ought to put me at rest. It ought to help me to experience that I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Why? Because He is in control. What a great statement to help us to be of good cheer. Two more passages of Scripture I want us to see, and then we'll be finished. Acts chapter 27. This is a great story in Acts chapter 27. I love the phrase that the Apostle Paul uses in this particular story. Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is on a boat. And he's a prisoner. And he's on a boat with a bunch of other prisoners. And the Bible says that Paul tries to warn them. He tries to warn the centurion or the commander of the boat that it's probably not wise for them to go out. Look at verse 10 of Acts 27. Paul admonished them, verse 9, verse 10, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And so they said, all right, we're just going to launch out. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught and would not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And they find themselves, verse 18, exceeding tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. They took all the stuff out. And the third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Man, you can't see anything. Kind of dark. And all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Here they are in an impossible situation here. And the Apostle Paul says this, but not after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. That would have made me a little bit upset. Don't you hate it when people say, I told you so. I told you so. That's what he's telling them. Told you so. You know, it's better just to be quiet and let the other person say, yeah, I know you told me so. But he's kind of bold and he says, you should have listened to me and you should have not loosed from Crete. He says, now I exhort you, verse 22, to be of good cheer, for there shall be the loss of no man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Here's the word now being communicated from God through Paul to the people. He's saying, be of good cheer. Hey, be of good comfort. And then he says this, For I believe, God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Number five, we can be of good cheer because God always keeps His promises. When you look at here, you look at examine this story, all hope that they should be saved was lost. I mean, there's an openness, there's a transparency that, look, man, we are doomed. I mean, there's no way out of this situation. You ever been in a situation like that? You feel like there's no way out? You feel like, hey, I don't see a way out. I don't see an answer. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I tell you what to do. Believe God. Believe the promises that God has given to us in His Word. What is it that caused boldness in Paul's life to stand up and say, I told you so, and he didn't listen. But if everybody stays in the ship, it's all going to be okay. Why? Because there was an angel that gave me a promise from God. And then he uses that phrase, I believe God. What if the angel came to Paul and said, look, here's what's going to happen. Nobody's going to be lost if everybody stays in the ship. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't believe you. I don't know that I believe that. I mean, look around here, man. It's dark and no sun. I mean, we got all the food and everything's out. I mean, we're doomed. What are you talking about? But you know, sometimes that's how we live. We've got promises in the Word of God and we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed. We allow ourselves to get weighed down. We allow ourselves to get distracted from what we should be doing because we're looking at everything around us and we're not believing the promises of God. You see, Paul just said, hey, God, you said it. I believe it and I'm resting on it and I'm acting in light of the promises that you said. And at that time, by the way, there was no indication that anything was going to change yet. But he believed God. I'll tell you this, no matter what we face, we've got hundreds of promises in this book. Somebody wrote the song, "Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All are blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine." We can be of good courage. Hey, we can take comfort. Because why? Because God always keeps His promises. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you. Jesus will not fail. He never has. And He never will. And we can stand on His promises. See, Pastor, you don't necessarily understand what I'm going through. Maybe I don't. I'll pray for you. I'll try to do everything I can to encourage you. But I know somebody that does. His name's Jesus. And I'll tell you this, if you'll get into this book and you'll say, "God, would you give me a promise? God, I'm drawing nigh to you." God will draw nigh back to you. "God, would you give me something from your word that I can hang on to help me through this?" Paul had a word, came from God. Hey, it's going to be okay. We have words all throughout the scriptures. It's going to be okay. Someone wrote, "Everything's all right in my Father's house." It is. His promises. Number 6, and we're finished. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter number 9? Matthew chapter number 9. And I want you to see number 6. Let me review and I'll give you number 6. We can be of good cheer because God forgives sin. We can be of good cheer because God is with you. Be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. Be of good cheer because God is in control. Be of good cheer because God keeps His promises. And I want you to see lastly from Matthew chapter number 9, be of good cheer because God honors faith. God honors faith. In Matthew 9, we have a lady that's got a problem. She's got a physical sickness. And at some point in her life, she got convinced, if I could just get to Jesus, Jesus would help me. Can I tell you something? No matter what promise, no matter what problem you face today, if you'll come to the same convincement that this woman came to, if I can just get to Jesus, Jesus will help me. I guarantee you, He'll help you. She's got a physical condition, and you know the story, and she gets convinced that I just got to get to Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Matthew 9, "A woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned Him about, and when He saw her, He said, 'Daughter,'" here's our phrase, "'be of good comfort, be of good cheer, be of good courage. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that very hour." Her faith is what made her whole. You trusted Christ, when you received forgiveness of sin, when you made certain you were on your way to heaven, you exercised faith. You placed your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is," and listen, "and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Do you believe that? You see, God honors faith. When we see what His Word says and we say, "If I will diligently seek Him, if I will seek after Him, if I will delight myself in Him, He will fulfill the desires of my heart." This woman said, "I got this issue in my life. And I, for 12 years, have had this issue in my life." I wonder how many of God's people have had issues in their life for years and years and years and years. We have spiritual issues that God's people will live with for years and years and years. This lady came to a point in her life where she said, "I'm tired of this." She said, "You know what? I've been fighting this thing for 12 years. It's been a burden on my life. It's probably distracted her." She said, "Hey, it's time. I heard about Jesus. I'm going to get to Jesus. And I'm going to let Jesus meet this need." And He did. And I'll tell you something. God honors faith. He really does. if we'll believe God, if we'll recognize that, hey, I need to get to Him, I need to take my burdens to the Lord and leave them there, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What an encouragement. What an encouragement that if I have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I can move mountains. If I'll believe God, God honors faith. Boy, I know we got a lot of things that we could complain about today. I know we could make a list. We could go around and say, hey, what do you want to complain about? What do you want to complain? And I tell you, our flesh is kind of bent that way. We're kind of bent to be down. We're kind of bent to be discouraged. But I'll tell you this, as Christians, we have a whole lot that we can rejoice in. We have a whole lot of truths. And by the way, this is just a little bit. I mean, there's so many things we could look at in the Word of God that ought to bring us encouragement, that ought to encourage us, that ought to comfort us, that ought to give us hope, that ought to give us confidence in the world in which we live in. Be of good cheer is what Jesus said as He interacted with people. The truths that He said were truths rooted in His character and who He is. And they are truths that we as God's people can claim today and can take with us in the world in which we live in. May God help us to be of good cheer. Lord, we love You today.